21 tonight, please. Chapter 21, the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 21. Here's John speaking, and notice carefully, he says, I saw. All right, he saw. He was carried into a high mountain, and the Bible says he saw. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth, were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, It is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Lord, bless your word, anoint the messenger. In your name I pray, Father, and amen. All right. Now, this morning we preached about the great white throne judgment. We talked about the final state of the wicked dead. It's a horrible thing. I mean, there's no way in the world that you can read something like that knowing that some of the members of your family probably went to hell. I know that it's not a... I know most people, it's hard for them to find anybody in their family that went to hell. Plenty in other people's families, but not their own. But the truth of the matter is, we all have people in our families that went to hell. And that's where they are. That's where the rich man's been. That's where Cain's been now for thousands of years, been in hell. And the Bible teaches us here in the book of Revelation that there's a new heaven and a new earth. There's a lot of people out there that teach that what this is talking about is a renovation of the earth. A renovation, a cleansing, a purging of the earth. But I don't believe so. I believe the Apostle Peter, if you'll turn over here to the book of 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And listen how he describes what we're going to read to you here. 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter 3 and verse number 13. 2 Peter 3:13. Look how he describes this. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, see that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now look at the context of this, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The elements is the lowest form of existence. It's the lowest particle of creation. At his time, what he knew. And these elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's not a reformation. That's not a restoration to me. That's an annihilation taken from existence. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He will take man to his end. He'll bring man his construction, his abilities, his creations, all of his achievements, and there are many, no question. Daniel said in chapter 12 that knowledge shall increase. It has. In my lifetime, I've watched. It's amazing. If you do any studying of DNA and construction of the human body, it'll blow your mind how anybody could know that and be a, and how any doctor could know that and be an atheist. It amazes me. I marvel at it. But the bottom line is that all of this is going to change. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth, were passed away. Isaiah chapter 65, a beautiful passage in the Old Testament, looks forward to this day. When the writers of the New Testament wrote, they certainly had this lying right before them. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. Now that's a strong play on words here. For Isaiah says, the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. It can't be heaven if you spend eternity thinking about a lost loved one in hell. And so the indication from Scripture is when it says the memory of the wicked shall rot. The idea is that they will, that once you are in the presence of God, in the tabernacle of the Lord, that if He allows you to remember what happened in this world, it'll only be for the good. But for the most part, you won't know anything. You'll not remember any loved one that went to hell. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad for it. I'm glad, thank God, that He can wipe the memory clean. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 22 says this. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Now the book of Isaiah is called the Prince of Prophets, 66 chapters. It's a beautiful book, as all scriptures beautiful. It's a great revelation as to the new earth and the new heavens. Isaiah was written 700 years before Christ. So when Peter quoted Isaiah, as he did in 2 Peter chapter number 3, he was quoting a book that was 700 years old, well known in Jewish culture and thought. In Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 11, the scripture says this, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it from whose face the earth and the heaven, watch this, fled away, and there was found no place for them. That Greek word translated fled here literally means escaped. It gives a personification to creation. In plain words, every is like the wind. He spoke to the wind. What manner of man is this that can speak to the wind and it ceases and calms down? You know, it has no personality, and yet He spoke to it. And according to the Bible, when at the great white throne judgment, the Almighty begins to let some of His glory begin to shine forth, and they begin to see into the essence of God, because that's who's going to be judging them. The scripture says that the heavens and the earth will flee away. You could even say that it spews or vomits out, and away it goes. It's trying to escape from the presence of the Creator. Why? Because it's cursed. It's cursed. It's under a curse. This earth is cursed, folks. It's cursed. And there's no way you're going to lift that curse. God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. So they're fleeing from the glory of God. In the book of Revelation chapter number 4 and verse 11, we start talking about the glory. The Bible says, for Thou hast created all things for Thy pleasure and for Thy glory. You want to know why it was made? It was made for the glory of God. You want to know why that there are animals out there that a human being has never seen? There are fish at the bottom of the sea that a human being has never laid eyes on. There are probably trees out there that we've never seen. There's so many species in this world that we don't know. You know why? It wasn't made for us. It was made for God. It was made for His pleasure. You were made for God's pleasure. And you will be one day able to give God more pleasure than any created thing there is. For the Bible in the book of Hebrews talks about the spirits of just men made perfect. Remember, body, soul, and spirit, you're a tripart being. Your body is a container right now that can be sanctified. It can be set apart to the Master's use. But your soul is saved, according to the Scripture. If you're born again tonight, your soul has been saved. And your spirit has been born again. Born of the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit is your life. It's the life force. It's what connects you with the Word of God. It connects you with the Holy Spirit. Your spirit is what is fed by spiritual things. And of course, I'm giving you spiritual things tonight. The Spirit is all important. It's absolute. The Spirit is everything. You can say all the right things with the wrong spirit, and they're going to be nothing but death. You need the right spirit to minister the Spirit of the living God. So the Bible said in Revelation 5:12, worthy is the Lamb to receive honor and glory and power and majesty and might. This glory continues. Chapter number 7, verse 11 of Revelation. It talks about the glory of God. In Revelation, it talks about the creatures in heaven giving glory to God. It talks about all the creatures on the earth giving glory to God. It literally talks about the creation giving glory to God. Why? Because He deserves all the glory that can be given. But in Revelation chapter number 16 in verse number 9, here's what it says about mankind in rebellion. It says, repented not to give him glory. They refused. They hardened their heart. Stiff-necked people. And refused to have God reign over them. Remember what I told you at the end of 1,000 years happens? When Satan is bound 1,000, then at the end of 1,000 years, he's loosed out of his prison. He goes up on the four corners of the earth, and there he's able to find a rebellious horde that comes against the holy city and against the very throne of God, for Christ is seated there. Man has an innate hatred for God. Why? Because there is a chasm between you and God. There's a controversy that goes on between man and God. And my dear friend, Christ came into this world to remove that controversy, to bring man and God together. And He's the only one who can do it. Hallelujah to God. Hope you've been brought together with Him. Be joined unto the Lord. Revelation chapter number 20, it talks about a new Jerusalem. In Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 10, look at this. Revelation 21, rather, and verse number 10. Revelation 21 and verse 10. He says this, and He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, folks, that's home. I'm talking about home. I'm reading about my home to you. This is a beautiful place. The length of it, the breadth of it, and the depth of it, and the measurements of it are 1,500 miles. A cube. It's a cube. 1,500 miles to the east. 1,500 miles then to the west, 1,500 miles back to the east, and then 1,500 miles straight up is a perfect cube of 1,500 miles. If you take 1,500-mile cube and superimpose it upon the map of the United States of America, you'll find that it'll take up at least 50% or more of the ground of this country, 1,500 miles. Now, if you take that 1,500 miles and start going up with it, let's say that you have 12 feet from one level to the next. You'll have 600,000 layers all the way to the top of this city of 1,500 miles. Let's say that you take it and you double the application of it where it covers the earth and go up 300,000 levels, and you'll see that the holy city is over 300,000 times larger, if you consider all of the context of what it can hold, than the United States of America. If you consider 300,000 miles, 300,000 times rather, larger than the United States of America, think about this for a moment. How much would it take to cover the entire earth? Why, the holy city, New Jerusalem, is large enough to completely cover this earth 1,000 times. But it doesn't, because it's a cube. And it will not cover the earth like that, but it is that big. Now, they say that anywhere from 105 to 110 billion people have lived. Now, how they know this, I don't know. But all the research I've done, it comes to that figure. Some say 106 billion, some 108 billion, maybe 110 billion. People have lived up until this point on earth. There's more people alive right now than ever has lived in any generation. I don't know what it is, 7 billion, 8 billion, between 7 and 8 billion. That's a lot of people. But did you know that a city this large, a city, the New Jerusalem, is large enough to have every last living soul that has ever lived on the face of this earth in the family of God in that city? It's large enough to contain all the Old Testament saints. It's large enough to contain all the saints that lived before the flood. It's large enough to contain every last one of the church age saints. It's large enough to contain every one of the tribulation saints. It's large enough to contain all the millennial saints. It's large enough to contain the entire family of God and still have a bunch of room left over. That's big. A lot of folks don't think about how big it is, but it's huge. The walls are 200 feet high. It has gates that are pearls with angels standing at those gates. And each one of those gates has the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. The foundation of this city are the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Think about this for a minute. And the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, when Abraham was looking for a city, The Bible said he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That city could not rest on this earth. It could not rest in Babylon. It could not rest in Egypt. It has to rest on the foundation of the apostles of the Lamb. Therefore, the foundation of this city is not the 12 tribes of Israel. It's not angels. It's the apostles of the Lamb. He is the foundation, by the way. No greater foundation can any man lay than has been laid, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't realize how great these apostles were, folks. These were great men, no question about it. And when you get around one of them in glory, you're going to know it. If you see Peter, you'll see him. I mean, you're going to have 1,000,000,000,000,000 years to do it. When you see Peter, you're going to know it the moment you see him. On top of that mountain of transfiguration, these apostles of the Lamb had gathered with the Lord Jesus, Peter, James, and John. And they saw Moses and Elijah, the scripture says, had come down and communed with the Lord Jesus on top of that mountain. Didn't anybody have a picture of Moses? They didn't have cameras back then. Well, they know what Elijah looked like. Oh, hairy and garments and all that. But that didn't tell you what he looked like. So how did any of them know it was Moses and Elijah? They knew it by divine revelation. You'll know as you are known. Amen. And so we will. I can't get it across tonight at what a wonderful place this is. John said, the Lord Jesus said in John chapter number 14, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now right before that he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Many mansions. Many places of abode and of glory. You know, that's where we are going. It's not that heaven is going to limit us to where we live, but this is where we're going to live. We're going to have pure, transparent gold under our feet. Walls of jasper, gates of pearl, singing the glory. Can you imagine the music that comes out of the throne of God in heaven? Can you imagine the singing of the saints of the Lord? Remember, angels, from the very first time you find them showing up in Scripture, they're singing. And that's a beautiful song. They sing. The angels sing. I don't know how many times I've read stories of people that they leave the world. They leave this world. And right at the moment that they're leaving it, they say to the people standing in the room, can't you hear that? They're singing. Can't you hear that? They're singing. Well, if angels sing because they're created, and they're singing because of the majesty of the Lord, glory to God tonight, we ought to have something to sing about because we've been redeemed. Amen. The song of the redeemed. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. How God is glorified from the guttermost to the uttermost. He's able to save them to the uttermost who come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my home. It'll be my home forever. My home is where God is. I'll be with Him. This is what it says in Revelation 20. The tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. 2,000 years ago, the Bible said He came, the Lord Jesus came into this world, and tabernacled amongst us. He came into this world and He lived in a body of flesh. That's what it meant by tabernacle. A tabernacle is a tent. A tent. It's not a temple now. The tabernacle preceded the temple. And the tabernacle was taken from one place to the next. The tabernacle is a tent. And the Lord Jesus was with us 2,000 years ago. He dwelt in His tent. But that tent, by the way, was the body of God. Nobody ever had a body like that before. You see, His tent was incorruptible. They laid it in a tomb, and 3 days later, His tent got up and walked out of there. Amen. Because God had joined with flesh. That's called the incarnation. But folks, I'll tell you something right now, just as honest as I know how, my tent's not going to make it much longer. This old house, what's that song? How's that song go? This old house is, what's that? Yeah, this old house is getting old. Amen. My tent, the outward man, is perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Amen. I'm looking for a home. Over there in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, the Bible said Abraham looked for a city, and he lived in tents. He tabernacled all of his life. He never lived in a house. Abraham, the father of the faithful, the type of who we are, that we are pilgrims and strangers on this earth, that we live in tents. The Bible says that we live in this tabernacle of clay. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's what it calls it. And it's passing away. Now, some folks get all caught up with their tent. They spend all their money taking care of their tent. They shine it and they wash it and they take care of it and they guard it and they feed it, and their tent is what they live for. Well, folks, I hate to tell you this tonight. You take the best care of your tent you want to, and it's going to let you down one day. Amen. But thanks be unto God for what's in my soul. What's in me tonight. Who I know. Where I know. I know where I'm going. So this book of Revelation talks about a new Jerusalem. He talks about a new earth and a new heavens. And he said in that verse number 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now some of these crying, these tears, may be from the judgment seat of Christ. They may be. For the Bible said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. You know, with a certain amount of trepidation, I'll show up at the judgment seat of Christ. The truth of the matter is, I don't have any choice. I'm going to be there. And I pray that enough of the glory of God will come out of me, where God will get glory for a life that He's changed, and that I've done something useful and constructive with the few years that He's given me on this earth. But the truth of the matter is, our works are going to be tried. It'll be tried with fire. And if any man's wood, hay, and stubble, works that are based upon human ability and human gifts and talents, it'll burn. It won't make it. It won't make it. Wood, hay, and stubble, He calls it. But if you build upon the precious foundation of the Lord Jesus, your works will pass the test of fire. And there you'll have them one day in eternal glory. Their works do follow them, that Bible says, to be ever with the Lord. Now, a lot of folks have the idea, well, you know, when I die, they're just going to take me out here somewhere and they're going to bury me and that's going to be it. And I'll be soon forgotten. That's nihilism. That's where we get our word annihilate, to bring to nothing, to take away from its existence, to annihilate. And they're nihilist. Where'd they get that? They got that out of the public school system. They got it from Darwin. They got it from a meaningless existence. They got it from the garbage that's fed every day of the world to the young people in this country. They're brainwashed. They can't even think. They cannot analyze anything. And then there's the intimidation that goes with it. That if you deviate from the doctrine of evolution, you're a nutball, you're a conspiracist, or you're some kind of a crazy. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now, folks. If your granddaddy's a monkey, don't tell anybody. If your family tree goes back into the monkey business and back into the woods, don't say too loud. All right? Because mine doesn't. Amen. Aren't no monkeys. There are no monkeys in my family. At least like physically monkeys. We've had, every family I guess has got a few monkeys in it, but they're not physical. Amen. Folks, you're worth something. I've got to be careful how I say this to you, but I don't want you to get messed up with. You are worth something. Christ went to the cross and died for you. He died for you. And He died for you, not just to save you here, but don't belittle that. That's a big deal, to save you here. Amen. But also to present you in His presence one day. Then you'll begin to understand what this is all about. When you see the end, you know what it says over there, didn't you? Don't you remember what it says over there in the book of Job? When he saw the end of the Lord, he saw the purpose of God. He saw the reason for His existence. You may say tonight, well, you know, I'm just a nothing. I'm a nobody. I mean, why am I here? I can't do anything. God's not interested in what you can do. And He's not interested in who you are. He wants you to know who He is and what He can do with you. Amen, amen, amen. So we have a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth, were passed away. They flee. They're terrified. They get away from this Creator. But here you stand. And that day will come, folks. It will come when there is no heaven, no earth, no stars, nothing except you and your Creator. And creation on that day will get a good dose of who He is as the Creator. So it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Are you going to heaven? Are you going to be with the saints of God? The Apostle Paul said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far greater. But it's needful, he said, that I stay here with you. He wanted to go. You know why he wanted to go? Because he'd seen the third heaven. The Lord balances our life for us. If he didn't put within you a desire to survive, survival instinct, I'd be gone tonight. My body's wore out. I'd be gone. I'd be gone tonight. I have to take medicine every day. I got to sleep at night with a mask on my face, a CPAP. I've got my feet swell, my legs swell, and I'm not complaining. I'm telling you, my body's wore out. But I get up here in this pulpit, and God gives me strength like you wouldn't believe. I can't explain it. I can't explain it. But I know this. One day I'm going to say, well, you did pretty good. I've had you now, right now, I've had you 74 years. But I'm going to leave you soon. And I'm sorry. Not a whole lot can be done for you. Nobody will want you. You know, who wants you? And so we're just going to take you out here somewhere and we're going to bury you. All my body says to me, is that all the thanks I get for all these years carrying you around? I'd say to my body, well, if I could do any more about it, I would. But there's not a thing I can do about it. Because where I'm going, you can't go. That body will never make it into the presence of God. He gives us a glorified body likened to his body. Amen. Amen. No heart attacks. No heart attacks. No cancer. No cancer. No diabetes. No diabetes. No fading sight, fading hearing, losing hair. That's all over with. It's past and it's gone. And think about living forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And after you've lived 100 trillion years, you've just begun forever and ever and ever and ever. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'll take that any day over standing at the great white throne judgment and being cast into hell fire. Wouldn't you? Well, do you know tonight that that's where you're going? So how can I know, preacher? John said, he that hath the Son hath life. What does it mean to have the Son? It means you believe on him. That means in your own way. You don't have to follow some formula. In your way, you've embraced him. You've taken him in. You've cried unto him as your Savior. He's your Savior. He's your Savior. You might have gotten there by confessing sins a mile long, or you might have gotten there by shaking and trembling when you came to an altar. You might have gotten there by what you were taught as a child and finally came to a moment in your life when you realized you're accountable to God. A lot of different ways, but you come to the same place, saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. Well, I'll say goodbye to you tonight. I may see you Wednesday night, and I may not. I'll go home tonight. I'll lay down. I'll plug in my CPAP. Put it on. You ought to see me with that CPAP on. I'm a sight to behold. Do you wear one? You wear one too? I'm not the only one. It's dying, am I? I didn't mean it that way. I've been wearing one now for about 8 years. I go on vacation. I take my CPAP with me. And my medicine and all that. And I'm not complaining. Doing okay. Doing okay. I'm saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. God's been good to me. No complaints. Amen. Father, bless your word. Bless your word tonight for the hearing of the people. Bless them with a blessing, Father, only you can give them. Somehow or another tonight, Lord, I've tried to make a difference, Father. Show them the difference between the lake of fire and the great white throne judgment. And that New Jerusalem, glory to God, that's our home, Lord, that New Jerusalem that comes down from God out of heaven. You can't lie. It says in the Word you can't lie. And I know you can't lie. And we have tonight, many of us, we have many loved ones. We've got mothers and fathers. We've got sons and daughters, husbands and wives, dear friends. We've got many, Lord, that have gone on. We know they're with you. We know they're in that New Jerusalem. That mother of us all, as Paul said in Galatians, we know they're there. We know they're there because it's the bride of the Lamb. It's his bride. There's not two or three brides, just one. And they're there. And one day they're going to come down of God, out of heaven, with God in the tabernacle amongst us. In Jesus' name I pray. Anybody tonight raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I want you to pray for me because I want to go to heaven. I don't go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want to go be with the Lord. Not this place, but with the Lord." Anybody? 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 Well, God bless all of you now. Take His word to your heart. Embrace it. Meditate on it. Think about it. Think about it. Think about what we're here for. I'm here to glorify God, not me. Forget me. I'm nothing. We're here to glorify God. In Jesus' name.